This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We're honored to have you tuning in today and listening to this audio podcast coming from my living room. We've been praying for you. We miss everyone so very much, and we can't wait to see you again. I know you've been praying for us. I feel the prayers, and I hope you feel the prayers that we are sending in your direction. The Bible says, pray ye one for another, and there's no distance in prayer. And so across the miles, we pray for each other. I want to repeat what I said last week. If you know of anyone, and we've tried to reach out to as many as we could, hopefully everyone by now, that are members or regular attenders of Journey, or even if they're infrequent attenders, if you know of someone in that class who has COVID-19 or they have been laid off or lost their job because of COVID and they have not told you, to keep it confidential, please send me a text or email. Let me know about it, because we want to help them in any way that we can. Groceries, electricity bill, whatever way we can, we want to be here to serve people during this time. And I appreciate so much and I haven't gotten back to everybody, but all of the emails, the texts, the private messages that you've sent me about our outreach during this time. I'm so glad and honored and humble, because I know without God I would be nothing, but I'm humbled that the message that we send to you each week, the two email devotionals we send, the stuff that we put on our public and private Facebook, I'm glad that they're speaking to you. We try to put up something almost daily. Now, you cannot share off of the private Facebook Journey page, but you can off of the public Facebook Journey page. And so I encourage you to do that to help us to keep getting the word out. Now, I want to speak to you for just a few moments today about a blessed and precious text. And I want to just call this, I guess you'd call it, Thank You, Lord. Now, you'd say, well, that's kind of a weird text for what we're going through right now. No, I think gratitude is what we really need because of what we're going through right now. You know, Matthew Henry, some of you have heard of him. He was a great theologian and the author of the Matthew Henry commentary. One time someone stole his diary and many of his study materials, and he commented on that. This is what he said. Listen, he said, let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Secondly, although they took my wallet, they didn't take all my money. And thirdly, although they took it all, they did not take my life. And fourthly, I who was robbed, and not I who robbed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says, and I want you to look in your Bible, turn to it, or either look it up on your mobile app, Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. This is such a blessed and precious text. It says in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 2, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. You know, Moses had spent 40 years as a prince in Egypt, and then he spent 40 years in the wilderness, and then he spent 40 years serving the Lord. He spent the first 40 years as a prince. Then he became a pauper, and then he became a prophet. He spent the first 40 years of his life learning to be somebody. And then he spent the second 40 years of his life learning to be nobody. And the last years of his life, he learned what God could do with somebody who had learned those first two things. So Moses went through this period of testing. In the Bible, 40 is the number of testing. Jesus, 40 days, fasting and praying, seeking the Lord. in the desert. The Israelites were tested for 40 years. As a matter of fact, this text is the biography of the time that the Israelites spent in the wilderness. But notice something here. Notice at the very beginning, Moses is thanking God. Look what he says again, and I'm going to give you six P's for this. He says in verse 7, let me read it again, "For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness." You know, at this time, I want to just say thank you, Lord, for your, number one, your providence. Your providence. Lord, you've been with me all this time. "For the Lord your God," look at, "has blessed you in all the work of your hand." Not sometimes God bless me, but in everything God bless me. Everything that we did, God blessed. Whether it was good or whether we failed, God blessed us. Whether we obeyed or disobeyed, God blessed us. In all things we were blessed. You say, well, how could you be blessed in disobedience? Well, you can be blessed with chastisement. There were times the Lord had to whip them. But the scripture says, "For no chastisement for the present time seems joyous, but grieful. But afterwards is yielded the peaceful fruit of righteousness." Wow. When you come into a relationship with God, you can stand on the promise that everything that happens to you is good. We've mentioned Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you've given your life to him, you can write Romans 8:28 over everything in your life. You know, if you've ever watched someone doing some cooking, it looks strange in the kitchen because they put a spoon of flour. Now, by itself, I sure wouldn't like that. They put a spoon of shortening. They put in some salt. They put in some baconing powder, and then someone gets in the kitchen and they mix that all together and then they put it in the oven, and what pops out? Biscuits. That's amazing. I mean real biscuits. The kind of biscuits that the first bite leaves a half moon and the second bite is a total eclipse. Those kind of delicious biscuits. Well, think about this. Isn't it wonderful that the things that are not of themselves necessarily good, for instance, what we're all going through right now, but isn't it wonderful that God can work it together for good? God mixes the events of our life in the crucible of his care, and he puts them sometimes in the oven of affliction. Oh, but when they come out, God has prepared something that will nourish and strengthen our souls. And so we say, thank you, Lord, for your providence. Now, I'm not saying here that there'll be no problems. Sure, you're going to have problems in life. You will, I will. But listen to me. If you love the Lord, he can turn every tear into a pearl. He can turn every hurt into a hallelujah. He can turn every Calvary into a Easter. One man said that ever since he got saved and gave his life to Jesus, he said, "I'm happier now being saved when I'm sad than I was when I was glad before I was saved." Does that make sense to you? In other words, it's better to be an unhappy Christian than to be a so-called happy unchristian or lost person. Oh, just to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and to have committed your life to him. What wonderful providence. But the second thing I want you to see here in this verse is the perception. Look in verse 7 again. "For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the works of your hand." He knows you're trudging. He knows the way. Listen, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. My Lord knows the way through COVID-19. My Lord knows the way through whatever you're going through. But listen, the important key is all you and I have to do is follow him. because God sees and God knows all there is to see about you. God knows all there is to know about you. And what a comfort to know that he knows. Now think about that. You know, Psalm 69, verse 5 says, "O God, thou knowest my foolishness." He knows. You know, God knows the worst part about you. And believe it or not, that's a grand and glorious thing. When someone knows the very worst about you, and yet they still love you. Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know who a real friend is? A real friend knows the very worst about you and still loves you. That's a real friend. You know, sometimes, of course, as a pastor, people are going to say things bad about me, true or untrue. It doesn't really matter. But I try to, when I hear things like that, I try to say, thank you, God, they don't know anymore. Oh, listen, the Lord knows all about me. He knows all about you. But he still loves you. And in that, we should be thankful. He knows the worst about us, but he also knows the best about me. Psalm 37:18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright. Not only does God know our foolishness, he also knows the good things about you and me. Do you know I'm really better than you know I am? But there are times when I'm not so good, but you don't know that. But when I am good, you know where that goodness comes from? Any goodness in me is because Jesus is in me. It's not because of me. It's the goodness that Jesus brings into my life. And that's a wonderful thing. God knows my heart. He knows my intentions. Even when I make a mistake, even there are times when you mean to do good and it doesn't pan out that way. And by the way, pastors make mistakes just like everybody else. But I always pray that my mistakes will be mistakes of the head and not mistakes of the heart. But let me tell you something. God knows not only the worst about you, he knows the very best about you. And you can be thankful that he still loves you unconditionally. You know, we're missing football right now. We're anxious for football to get back in season, but we don't know how that's going to look. But, you know, in football, there's always the lineman, you know, the offensive line. You know, these guys sometimes, they're the ones that, these big, huge fellas, they open the holes for the running backs to run through, to make touchdowns, to gain yardage. And we cheer for those running backs. And sometimes, you know, I've seen the linemen, especially at LSU, they open a hole big enough for a wheelchair to go through. But who do we cheer for? We cheer for the running backs. We don't worry about those poor slobs there on the offensive line with their nose in the dirt. But you know what? When those linemen get to the bench, the coach knows what they did. He knows what they did. And that's what keeps those fellows going. And I want to tell you something. There may be many folks who don't understand what you do in serving the Lord, but I tell you, the great coach knows. Maybe there's somebody that gets a lot more praise than you, but the scripture says, he knoweth the way of the upright. Isn't that good? He knows. You know, someone once said, it's amazing how much good you can do in this world if you don't care who gets the credit. A lot of truth there. So it isn't enough that he knows our good parts and our bad parts, but he also knows our weaknesses and still loves us. And I'm thankful for that. Psalm 103:13, he knoweth our frame and remembereth that we are but dust. You see, he knows. He understands. You say, Pastor Malcolm, I just can't bear this burden that I'm carrying right now. Listen, God gave you that burden to make you, not break you. God gave you and allowed that burden to come so that you could learn to lean harder on Him, so that you could learn that it's not through your power, but it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that you can overcome. Matthew 6:8, and that's another thing He knows. He knows our needs. Matthew 6:8, your heavenly Father knoweth these needs. He knows your needs, friend. Don't be afraid. Don't think He's not concerned about you. He knows the needs you have right now in the middle of this coronavirus or whatever it is. I like what David said. I once was young, I'm now old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed out begging bread. Thank you, God, that He knows. Thank you, Lord, for your providence. Thank you, Lord, for your perception. You know, hallelujah, you know. And the third thing that comes out of this verse and is the last part of verse 7, and it is the purpose. Thank you, Lord, for the purpose. For these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. What is God's purpose? Well, God's purpose for them was to walk through the great wilderness. And He wants you and me to walk through this life, through our wilderness experiences, through our troubles, through our tribulations, through our times of social isolation. He wants us to walk through them, and eventually we will escape. But let me ask you a question. Now listen to me. How do you walk? You walk one step at a time. How do you get saved? One step at a time. Well, listen to this verse. It says, as you have received the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in Him. How did you receive Jesus into your life? You say, Malcolm, by faith. Well, then how are you supposed to be living right now in May of 2020? By faith. One step at a time. You're saved by faith. You live by faith. One step at a time. And the Christian life is like riding a bicycle. You know, if you stop riding that bicycle, you're going to fall. But you have to keep on going. And God's purpose is that we walk through this great wilderness, not that we just go straight to heaven. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. I want to read that to you. It says here, let me find it real quick. 8 verse 2, here it is. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. That's the purpose that we're going through testings and trials. It's to humble us. It's to humble us. You know, I try to remind myself often during the day, I am nothing without God. So God allows us to go through these things, to humble us, to prove us. It's like a proving ground. And you know, if you want a sharp, I've been telling people, you know, during this time of social isolation, that time spent sharpening your axe is not wasted time. And I'm trying to sharpen my axe and be closer to God and be a better pastor and a better Christian. But another point of that is you don't sharpen an axe on a pound of butter. You sharpen an axe on a grindstone. God is trying to humble you. God is trying to prove you. God is trying to strengthen you. It's not God's way that everything be easy. It's not God's way that you have the lazy way. Thank you, Lord, that you are leading us through this wilderness to test us and to prove us and to help us and to mature us. You see, it's one thing to receive Christ into your life, but then there comes growth and growth and growth. And I've learned more from my tough times than I ever learned from my successes. Now, I want you to see another P, and that is the P of patience. Thank you, Lord, for your patience. And you go back to verse 7. For the Lord your of Deuteronomy 2, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. This 40 years, the Lord has been with you. Now you talk about patience. My soul. God, for 40 years, he's been with these people. And at times they've been fickle. At times they've been disobedient. At times they've been carnal. At times they've been sinful. Yet he has been with them. And he never stopped providing for their needs. Have you ever, my friend, have you ever thanked God for his patience? Acts 13:8. It says about the time of 40 years, suffered he their bad manners in the wilderness. You see, these people in the wilderness, they had bad spiritual manners for 40 years. And God put up with them. He could have blotted them out. And those sins, they confessed them sometimes more than twice, sometimes over and over again. And it would look like God would say, listen, you've already confessed that 5 times. You don't need to confess it anymore. Aren't you glad that God is patient? Peter took a sword and hacked off a guy's ear. And then later on, he asked the Lord, how many times should we forgive? And he thought he was being gracious and benevolent when he said 7 times. I mean, that was a lot. But then Jesus said, no, 70 times 7, 490. And he didn't mean stop at 491. He meant that we are to live in a spirit of forgiveness. As many times as he comes to ask forgiveness, you are to forgive him, God told Peter. Well, more so. And I'm thankful this is true with God. It's true with God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Romans 15:5, the God of patience. He's called the God of patience. Thank you, Lord, for your patience. And then another thing I want you to thank the Lord for is his presence. Notice in this verse here in Deuteronomy, he said, in all this time, I have been with you. 40 years, God has been with them. Pillar of cloud, God gave them by day and night. And God was with them in that pillar of clouds. And God was with them in a much more wonderful way with us today in this New Testament era. We have his presence through the blessed Holy Spirit. And in Hebrews 13, it says that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. The Holy Spirit goes with you when you go to work. The Holy Spirit goes with you when you go to the grocery store. The Holy Spirit goes with you no matter where you are. It says here that God will never, 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 and in the Greek, that's an intensive form. It's God's way of saying it. It's like God is saying it 3 times. I will never, never, never forsake you. I like what one guy said. He said, look, God may have to say it three times for you Greek fellas, but once is enough for me. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that we Christians are never alone. I love that old hymn. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me to still fight on. I promise never to leave thee, never to leave thee alone. And then the chorus goes like this, no, never alone. No, never alone. He has promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. And I'm telling you, if you've ever been through a tragedy, you know this more so than anybody else. The presence of God is so real and such a comfort to us when we go through times like that. Oh, listen, my friend, have you thanked God for His presence? He says here in this text, through 40 years, the Lord has been with you. Now, you may be going through some affliction right now. You may be going through a troubling time, a challenging time right now. Maybe your job is insecure. Maybe your finances are low. Maybe your health is in bad condition. But I tell you, Jesus is there. Jesus knows. And Jesus cares. And Jesus understands. And He will never, never leave you alone. And then the last thing I want to say tonight, or this afternoon, is thank God for His provision. Look again in verse 7, the last part. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, you have lacked nothing. Isn't that great? God is saying to the Israelites, you haven't missed a thing you needed. Now, it didn't say the things you wanted. God didn't always give me the things I want, but He's always given me the things I needed. This verse is not talking about wants. It's talking about needs. Philippians 4:19, God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Sometimes we want things we don't need, and sometimes we need things we don't want. When I was a child, sometimes I needed a whipping. I didn't want it, but my dad, because he loved me, disciplined me. And sometimes I think I was his favorite child. Now, look at this again. You have lacked nothing. Like what David said, oh, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Oh, isn't that powerful? That is so, so true. Oh, how we ought to thank God. Listen, you talk about changing your attitude in this time of isolation. You thank God for His provision. You thank God and you say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Isn't it wonderful to thank God for His greatness and His power and His might? I want us to pray. Let's bow our heads. You know, as a Christian, we ought to live in constant thanksgiving. You know, Shakespeare once said, how sharper than a serpent's teeth it is to have a thankless child. Don't be a thankless child of God. Thank you, Lord. Praise Him. Magnify Him. Oh, let us exalt His name together and turn thanksgiving into thanksgiving. Show your thankfulness. Lord, I thank you that even in a time like we're going through right now, we can be thankful. Lord, it changes our attitude. It changes everything about us. Lord, bless these good folks today and help them to focus not on the negative, but all that they can be thankful for. Lord, we praise you. We love you. We glorify you and you alone. And we pray for every listener that they may feel the touch of God, even this moment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We love you. God bless you. And we all hope to see you in the near future. God bless you so much.